If you're here today because you believe this is a special day, I want you to know that you're here for the right reason. I want you to know this is a very special day. In fact, it is the holy day of God for us, the church. There's 52 of them every year. And if you're here today, we invite you to come back on the other 51 first days of the week, when we all come together and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the book of John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Of course we do. 365 days a year we live as Christians, as saints in Christ Jesus. We have been elected, predestined to be a member of His body in the church through faith and obedience to the will of God. And we are Christians 365 days a year. 365 days a year that we can worship God through our lives, through our work, through our hearts, through our study. 365 days a year. And on the first day of each week of those years, those 52 days, a special day, a day of worship when the church all around the world assembles to remember Jesus Christ, His death upon the cross, and indeed His resurrection from the grave. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, we read about the sisters and those who had come to the gravesite, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they came to see the tomb. And the scripture in 28 verse 2 of Matthew says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was lightning as white, was lightning as his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women," and now listen, this is what the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And then the angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen." Isn't that amazing? We serve a risen Savior. And this is something we do 365 days a year. Not once a year, not every quarter, 365 days a year. And I say amen to that. This morning we're going to be talking about that very thing in some way or another, because our message this morning is a continuation in the book of Ephesians. If you'll turn there with me, you heard that scripture read this morning by Brother Calvin. And we want to continue this series, which is called The Saints in Christ. Last week, we did our first lesson in this series. The first couple of verses, or part of verse 1, where Paul the Apostle, he told the saints there in Ephesus that were faithful in Christ Jesus, he called them saints. He called them saints. And the first lesson was, you are a saint. And we need to put that, get that in our minds, in our hearts. The word saint, it isn't what the world describes a saint. You don't have to raise people from the dead. You don't have to do a miracle. You don't have to go through several steps to become a saint. You are a saint if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have obeyed the gospel. You are a saint if you have been baptized for the remission of sins. You are added to the church of Christ, and that's who Paul's talking to. You are a saint. And you're a saint because of your faith and obedience in Christ, not because of anything you did. In fact, there's nothing you can do to become a saint. You could claim to do miracles. You could claim to speak to God. You could claim to raise people from the dead. But the bottom line is, even if you could do those things, you wouldn't be a saint. And you can't. You're a saint because of Jesus. You're a saint because of the blood of Christ. You're a saint because Jesus said so. And unlike the perverted use of that term in this world, God says you are a saint because of the blood of Christ. And He is our peace. He is our cornerstone. And let's never forget that. The last three chapters, we talked about the first three chapters of this book of Ephesians. Paul is talking about who you are. He's describing you as a saint, and then today he'll be describing us in a different way. But Paul is going to use those first three chapters. He's who you are. What is your identity? When people see you, when God sees you, what are you? Who you are is very important. And of course, we're children of God. We realize that. And in the last three chapters, Paul is going to equip the saints on how to walk spiritually, how to live as Christ. So now instead of who you are, it's what you do as a Christian. And so, Lord willing, we'll get to those things. But now we continue here in verses 3 and 4 in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And the first thing I want you to notice very quickly is that Paul uses a term in the very beginning. Blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And for those of you that have young children in the assembly, on that back table there's a little booklet that has the title of the lesson on that booklet, and it's something that kids can use to follow along, and if you want to pick that up for them now, it's back there. And I apologize that I didn't make mention of that in the announcements. We just like everybody to follow along, and especially the children. And so you think about that term, blessed be God. And Paul is fully aware of the fact that the Father blesses His own with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And one of those spiritual blessings, very important, of course, it rightly connects to the fact in verse 4 that we are saved, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And I want to point out something that I think is just pretty obvious, which is Paul began the phrase, blessed be the God and Father, for a very good reason. God the Father deserves that. He deserves that blessing from us. He deserves our praise. He deserves to be put on high in our hearts and our minds because His love was so immense. He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son in the world to save us from our sins. All accommodation, all praise, all glory and honor, all those things belong to the Father because of what He did. And I want you to notice the words there in verse 4 that begin verse 4, just as. You see those words, just as. What that does is it connects us with all the spiritual blessings to our being chosen in Christ. And in the same way, we see why Paul blesses God the Father, because he should be blessing. So should we be blessing God the Father. And listen, I think for the very same reason, our spiritual well-being, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, our peace, comes because of what God has done in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Blessings to our earthly lives. You see the riches of the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. His focus is in Christ, as should ours be. Our blessings are spiritual, we're talking about here. And as we mentioned, salvation is a blessing. It's not cars. It's not boats. It's not wealth or physical possessions. Our blessings are in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places. In other words, they're not here on the earth. It's amazing that we can have the crown of rejoicing, that we can have great peace, that we can have understanding, that we can have peace and hope and joy, that we can have love, peace, gentleness, kindness, mercy, all those things, all the fruit of the Spirit, just because of the blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The fact is, we're worthy of God's wrath. And I say we. Honestly, I'm speaking of myself. I'm worthy of God's wrath. I am a sinner, saved by grace. I'm worthy of God's wrath because of my disobedience in the past, because I am a sinner. But praise be to God. Praise be to the Father. Praise be to the Blessed One, Jesus Christ, that every spiritual blessing that is in the heavenly places in Christ provides our spiritual well-being. King David, he wrote, "Blessed be the Lord because He has heard my voice, the voice of my supplications." That's what we're talking about. We're all condemned sinners. And we're all in the hands of the Almighty God who judges rightly. We hear the gospel, and we should be crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" We should be crying out to God, to our Father. You know, our Father hears us. He gave us a message how to be saved. And when we obey that message, He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and He holds back nothing. Think of that. We all in the physical world, you know, many of us, most of us here, we have some accumulation of wealth, things, possessions, money in the bank, that kind of thing. And when somebody needs help, we have no problem blessing them with a portion. And yet God blessed us with every single blessing. He doesn't hold back. And of course, that main blessing is Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, in response to that, in response to having received every spiritual blessing, there's a demand that we hold our gifts up on high. We hold our gifts up to God in praise. And we must understand this thing, my friends. Be sure that from the Scriptures we know that these blessings are not found outside of Christ. If you're in the assembly today and you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, listen, the spiritual blessings we talk about are not yours. And dear friends, I need you to understand that if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you don't have remission of sins, which is one of those blessings. And no matter how wonderful your life is, my life is so great, Dave, it couldn't be better, you know. No matter how good you feel inside about yourself and your assurance in your mind of your salvation, no matter how it made you feel. And I have people all the time that you can't tell me that baptism has anything to do with it because I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I felt it when it happened, and you can't tell me otherwise. No matter how much love you have for other people, no matter how much credit you give to God for the way you feel and the things that you have, you need to understand this assuredly, without any question, without any doubt, that you are not blessed with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ if you're not in Christ. And there's no other way to receive those blessings. Paul wrote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Don't be deceived by foolishness. Don't be deceived by your own feelings. When you say, "I felt it, Dave," that's the flesh. Think about that. You're sowing to the flesh. And that doesn't save you. Make no mistake. To be saved, you must completely and utterly obey God. Not your feelings, not your own mind. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There is a way of man, and that way leads to destruction. It leads to death. Don't be mistaken. Don't be deceived. Solomon, the wise man, he wrote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It's not our way. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, simply because we're chosen. We are chosen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as He chose us in Him. And I hope you're excited with that. I hope that really does fill you with joy and with great hope and peace, with great understanding. I hope that you're overwhelmed and excited over that kind of a blessing. He chose you. If you're a member of the church, again, if you are baptized for the remission of sins, you've been added to the church of Jesus Christ, and He chose you. The Scripture tells us He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And this is where your feelings really play a good part in your spiritual life. When you understand the truth and when you know that you've been chosen, that should make you feel good. Amen. Most of us have the experience of being passed over at some point in our lives. In school, passed over. In parties, you know, just kind of ignored or passed over. In a school play, you wanted a certain part, but you were passed over, even though you just knew in your heart you'd be better. For a spot on a team, passed over. In your job, your promotion or a raise, you get passed over. And boy, we know what that feels like. It's not a good feeling. It's a really wonderful feeling to know that you've been chosen. You were selected. That makes you feel good, and that's a good thing. The imagery of being chosen literally comes from the Old Testament when you think about Israel chosen by God. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 7 just for a moment. We want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're just going to look at a few verses. Let's begin at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Moses, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. I want you to think of that. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the people. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Just very quickly, there's principle there. Number one, God is a holy God, and He chose the people to be a holy people, and He did so because of Himself. He chose the people because He wanted to. And then you read there in verse 7, it wasn't because they were a great, mighty, Superman kind of people. It wasn't because they had great authority or power on the earth. It wasn't because, you know, they were so well respected on earth. It wasn't anything in them. It was just God. He chose them. And in the same way, in the day that we live in, the church was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and those of us who are in the church through faith and obedience in Christ are chosen. Not because God said, Dave, you're going to be a Christian. Randy, you're going to be a Christian. It's not why it happened. It's because we obeyed Christ, and He founded in His mind the church before the foundation of the world. He chose us because He loved us. For God so loved the world, right? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He chose us in Him. And that's where the feelings really should kick in. Chosen because God wanted them. Not because they were great in number. Not because they were particularly holy. Nothing that Israel did motivated God to choose them. He chose them because He loved them. And He chose them to be His special treasure. I want you to imagine with me just for a second. There's a very short boy. We're going to call him Michael. And Michael, you know, he has he's exuberant, a strong passion for the game of basketball. He plays in his driveway all the time. He loves basketball. And then I want you to imagine a team. Now, realize that Michael is a very short little guy. Not what you would call a good option for basketball. A good trait. But here's a team, and they're all tall, and they're muscular, and they're just ready to go. And imagine with me that team rejects Michael. They reject Michael just because of his size. You know, they assume he can't play basketball. How horrible is that? And we've all maybe experienced something like that, being rejected by a girlfriend. Boy, there's a tough one. Boyfriend. Being rejected by somebody in the workplace. Being rejected by a friend. We've all understand what that means to feel rejected. Especially when you're rejected because of the way you look. Especially because you're rejected because of the color of your skin. Especially because you're rejected because you don't have a degree. I tried to get a job one time in the computer field. They told me I didn't have a degree and they wouldn't talk to me. I went out and started a business called AJT Solutions. I built servers. I set up networks. I wrote custom software. But they wouldn't hire me because I didn't have a degree at some college. Rejected. And that's a terrible feeling when you're rejected. But now I want you to imagine that Michael, he leaves that school and he moves to another school. And guess what happens? He hears the words, "Come, Michael." When they're selecting people, "Come, Michael, come on." And he is now not rejected, but he's chosen. And that is exactly what I'm trying to get at. That feeling that they chose me. Despite of my size, my stature, despite of my perceived abilities, despite of who I am, they chose me. And how good that made Michael feel. And how good should you be feeling because Jesus Christ chose you. Jesus Christ died for every soul on the earth. And when He died, it was proof that He loved you, regardless of whether you love Him or not. The captain called out, "Michael, come." And just think of how happy Michael is now. He's a member of the team. How happy are we? We're members of the body of Christ. We are chosen. So much more than the story about Michael. Especially honored by God. Knowing that even when we were rejected, but indeed we were chosen by God as precious. What a wonderful thing. Chosen despite your abilities. You know, again, you don't have to meet any standards of strength or being able to perform miracles like some teach or being able to, and they even teach that you can do, as long as you do a miracle, even after you die, you can do the miracle. It doesn't matter. We'll catch it and you're a saint. No. Not at all. It's not because we're great, strong, supermen of the faith, super intellectual, powerful, mighty in speech. God demonstrated His own love towards us that yet while we were in our sins, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You were selected, chosen, not rejected. And Jesus Christ rejects no one. He turns no one away. Not a single one. And let it be known, brothers, sisters, everyone, you are chosen because God loves you. Because He wanted to call you out of the darkness of the world. And get this, He chose you and He knew you. You think of, that's right, Jesus knows your name. God placed all the stars in the heavens and called them by name. Jesus knows your name. Just as the good shepherd in John chapter 10, it's recorded that the doorkeeper who calls his own sheep by name, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. He knows you. Very personal. 365 days a year, every day of your life, He knows you. And listen, in Isaiah chapter 43 and at verse 1, the Redeemer who formed you like Jacob, what did He say? Fear not, for I am, and I have redeemed you, for I have called you by your name. And He said, you are mine. Check that out. Isaiah 43 and 1. I called you by your name, Jacob, and you are mine. And Jesus is doing the same thing with us. And this is, it's explicitly, no, it's inexplicitly amazing, if you ask me. You know, that means you just can't explain it. Our Creator, the Almighty, all-powerful God who created all the heavens of the earth through His Son, Jesus Christ, who spoke things into existence, upheld all things by the power of His Word. That God says, you're mine. That God chose you by name. Called you out of the darkness to walk in His marvelous light. Not because of your ability, just because He loves you. And there's a strong relationship between Deuteronomy chapter 7 and Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Just as Moses said to Israel, so Paul says to the chosen, we are to be a holy people, blameless people. And that's something for a future lesson. Brethren, we need to own this. Really, we're a holy people to the Lord, chosen by God, treasured possession. And we need to notice that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul said. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And the first thing to note, if God chose us before the foundation of the world, it can't be because of our works. It can't be because of something we did or said or possessions that we've accumulated. It can't be anything of us. Nothing that we made. Nothing human. Nothing that walks on the earth. He just chose us because of His love for us. Before the foundation of the world, it was in the mind of God to make a church that would be upon the earth till Jesus Christ comes back to take her home. And in that, everyone who is a member of that church is the chosen. And you were chosen before the foundation of the world in that sense. How can God choose us for our actions that haven't even happened yet? While we were still in the womb. You're not chosen because of anything you did. You're chosen because, like God's Son, He loved you. And listen, unless you can walk on the earth sinless like Jesus Christ did, you, there's no way that you can achieve being chosen before the foundation of the world on your own. Paul made it very crystal clear, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is not one who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Short version, you're a sinner. Everyone. Longer version, you're a sinner saved by grace. Longer version yet, you're a sinner saved by grace through the blood of Christ. Longer version that yet, you're a sinner saved by grace through the blood of Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Longer version than that, you're a sinner saved by grace, by the blood of Christ, by the resurrection, and one day you'll be taken back up into heaven if you remain faithful. We who are in Christ cannot boast about our salvation because it isn't because of us. It's because God decided to save us. And that should humble us all. God didn't choose us because we were exceptionally moral or good. God didn't choose us because He needs us. The fact is, God chose us before the foundation of the world because it was a proclamation of His majesty, His power, and His goodness, and His love. The power of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, made it possible for us to be set apart for Himself before the foundation of the world. We exist as a people only because of God and His holiness, God's character, God's mercy, God's grace. And listen again carefully. It was before the foundation of the world was laid that God determined that all who believe on His Son and obey the gospel should be saved. And you make no mistake, we have to believe and obey to be saved. We have to believe and obey to be one of the chosen. We have to believe and obey in order to be one of the redeemed. And this is how the Scriptures discuss that choosing of Israel. We read in Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 4, verse 37, and because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them. And I want you to think about something that connects that verse and this verse. But you, Israel, are My servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham. And I don't know if you see this or not. Connect those highlighted things together and see if you caught that. Did you notice something about the choosing, about the election? It wasn't the man that was chosen. And I hope you see that. There is a corporate dimension to God's choosing. And why is that important? God never said He selected an individual in the sense of being a great nation or a great people. Why is that important? Because today, concerning the church, every individual is either chosen or rejected by God before the world began? No. It's important because that's not true. God did not choose the individual to be saved or not saved. The problem with that Calvinistic teaching is that it removes the need for salvation through faith. It removes the need for our obedience to Christ. And the problem is that if God chose the individual to be saved, that means God's a respecter of persons, and we know that's not true. The Apostle Paul said very clearly, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And Ephesians 6 and 9, there is no partiality with God. Peter said, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. The individual is not chosen. We choose to follow God. We choose to be members of the body. We choose to obey the gospel, to have been washed by the blood of Christ. The church was predestined, and all who were in it. That's what God planned before the foundation of the world. He did not decide who would and who wouldn't be saved. How horrible would that be? What kind of a reason for living in faith would there be? Why live in faith in Christ Jesus? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 34, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's in contrast to Israel. Most Jews believed, but not all Jews were really, truly Israel. And the same thing can be true in that we can all say we believe, but we're not necessarily true believers. The question, were the Jews saved from the second death simply because God chose them to belong to Israel? The answer is no. The same thing, according to Jesus and the apostle, the answer is no. Because they could have been spiritual Israel, but most chose not to follow the spiritual path. They were called, but they weren't necessarily of the chosen. You think about what is happening. Paul the Apostle, but it is not that the Word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are of the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. You see, you're not a Christian just because you say so. You're not a Christian just because you were born into a family of Christians, and they aren't Jews that are spiritual Israel just because they were born a Jew. Obedience is a requirement. It was a requirement for them. It's a requirement for us under the law of Christ. Concerning Israel, one great example, just quickly, the wandering in the wilderness. Remember why they wandered in the wilderness? Because they came to that place that God had told them He promised them, the land of milk and honey, and all they had to do is cross over and possess the land. That was the command. But they were afraid. They saw these people. They were giants, and they felt like little grasshoppers, and they were numbered as the grasshoppers, and they had cities with walls built high up into the heavens, and they were afraid, all except for two, Joshua and Caleb. And the example is that they wandered in the wilderness 40 years and God purified the people, and all those people except for Joshua and Caleb died. They were all Jews. They were called by God. They were chosen, but they weren't saved because of themselves. Think about that. Paul says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you are also the called. He tells us very clearly that is the point. Paul says, I would not dare to speak any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word or in deed to make the Gentiles obedient. It's so important that we understand that. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Chosen to be holy without blame. That's how we're chosen. And you note carefully that Paul didn't end the verse there. He didn't end it with, He chose us before the foundation of the world. That's where a lot of people end the verse. No, Paul continued to tell us he chose us to be holy and blameless before him. And therefore, we must test our election to make sure that it's sure. Make sure that we are holy and blameless before him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. And you who were once alienated and enemies of your in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Once enemies. Now reconciled through the blood, the body of Christ, through his work on the cross. And the purpose was to make us holy, a saint. His blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and it cleanses us and we become a saint. And that's the pinnacle of our existence. And don't forget the if there in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith. It isn't once a saint, always a saint. We can fall from grace. Peter the Apostle, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. What are those things? Adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in faith. God decided that he was going to have a people that was a very distinct people. Examine yourselves then, whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves on a daily basis. You know your life. You know your heart. Look in the mirror every morning, in the mirror of the Word of God, and test yourselves. Because you don't want to be disqualified. To everyone in this place, to all who have obeyed the gospel, test yourselves. Know that you're called to be a saint. Know that you were chosen, that you're blessed. And test yourselves. It's a daily struggle. There's no question about it. Between the spirit and the flesh. The apostle Paul, he said that I walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Trust the scriptures. Test yourselves. Learn from them. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't go backwards. Move forwards. Add to your faith. And you won't stumble. We are indeed distinct from the world. And he made that decision that we could be before the foundation of the world. A people that belong to him. Be one of the chosen. And if you obeyed through faith, and you continue to live and work in the Spirit, you will be remaining such. If you're different from the world, that's what God wants. To the church, Paul said, circumcision indeed is profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. The circumcision of Christ is our baptism. And the law of Christ is the law that we must keep. When they don't live the life of a saint, you lose your salvation. You fall from grace. We lose our privileges in Christ. You know, we have privilege. And we have been privileged to have the blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have been called to a glorious relationship with Jesus Christ, every one of us. And every one of us needs to hold that precious, that reconciliation that we have. And you have been chosen to be a holy people, to walk blameless. What will you do with your calling? Every day of your life, what will you do with your calling? Do you know who you are? Make that precious. Own that. Do you live as one who has been chosen, as described in the Bible, as we talk more about this in the future lessons? What a comforting and glorious thing it is to know that God has elected you, chosen you before the foundation of the world to an undeserving people to be holy in His name. No person deserves this. No person can earn this wonderful grace. It only comes by faith and obedience. And I had a question, knowing all this today, if you believe in Jesus and you have not obeyed the gospel, again, as I mentioned, you're not a recipient. If you believe in Jesus and you believe the miracles that He did, you believe He walked on water, you believe He raised the dead, you believe that He healed the lame, the blind, the sick, if you believe that He fed 5,000 with just a few fish and some bread, if you believe that He calmed the storms of the sea, if you believe that He died and 3 days later was risen from the grave, but you haven't obeyed the gospel, today's the day to make that right so that you can be a recipient of all the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if you have obeyed the gospel, if there's something that's in error in your life, make it right today. Don't leave this place in a unsolved relationship between you and your God. We have a song of invitation to sing, 478. As we sing those words, take note of the words. Realize that God is the one that we need to allow to mold us, the clay, because He's the potter. If you have a need this day, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.